Let's pray for Steve. Father, right now, we just ask for a precious anointing to rest upon him.
Yes.
Father, you really what would happen to administer what you have laid on his heart. Father, I pray that your spirit will bring such a quickening and such a precious anointing. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what a service. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? You know, when Mike started to speak earlier on, I said, he's been reading my notes. He's preaching my sermon. I'm going to have a day off. When Grace spoke on Wednesday, I felt the same thing. Because I'd started to prepare for today and she's preaching my sermon. She's been reading my notes. The Holy Spirit brings it all together. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I was out yesterday with some biker friends. We were out giving Bibles out in Barton. There's a bike show there. And we gave out 100 Bibles yesterday, which was great. But one young woman came up to me and she said, you're brainwashed. I said, oh, it's not just my brain that's being washed. It's all been washed. And then another young man said, I believe in science. Well, I know the best scientist. Yeah, praise God, isn't that wonderful? And somebody else said, I'm not religious. And I said, well, neither am I. We're not religious. And it was a real day of blessing giving out these Bibles. We thought we wouldn't get the wrong word, that we wouldn't give away 100 Bibles in the time. But in 2 hours, 100 Bibles had gone. And we just pray that they will fall on good soil, on good soil. Yeah. Grace spoke on Wednesday on waiting on the Lord, listening to what he has to say, and then doing what he tells you to do. And I want to build on that. So this is part two, or after Mike, it's part three. Part three. So how, as disciples, because that's what we are, how as disciples should we live our lives? What are the things in our lives that we should do? What are the things in our lives that we shouldn't do? I'm sure many of us could stand and list things one to another, say, oh, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do the other. And we could give advice to people and tell them what we think. Well, I'm not going to give you any advice today. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says in terms of how we should live. And if you start to look at the Bible and try and find out what it says about how you should live, well, you'll be there a while. It'll take a while for you to go through and pick out all the references, all the verses. So I hope you've got your sandwiches. No, I can only scratch the surface this afternoon. But what I'd like you to do is to stop and think. Think about how you, me too, think how we're living, how we are living our lives. Are we reflecting God's glory in our lives? Or are there a few things that we might choose to change through God's grace? You know, I've heard the Bible being described as God's GPS. It's the guide by which we should live, a blueprint. God's purpose of salvation, GPS. I often use my GPS in the car and also on the motorbike. And you know, it's never failed to get me where I wanted to get to. It's always been right. The problem is, it takes you on a funny route sometimes. You don't go on the route that you expect to go. In 100 yards, do a U-turn. Yes, dear. But it's never failed to get me where I want to get to. And where I want to get to is to glory, to receive a crown of glory when I get there. And the welcome, Mike. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. So the GPS will get you there. But this is what will get you there. What's written in here? The inspired word of God. Take this as your GPS. Let this be your guide as to where you need to go. And not the words of the world. So how should we live our lives? Who's in control of your life? Are you in control of your life? Or is God in control of your life? Is Jesus first? Absolutely first? Or is he somewhere second, third, or fourth? Jesus needs to be first in your life. Absolutely first. If you were charged with being a Christian, and you had to go to court, would there be enough evidence to prove that you're a Christian? Would you be convicted of the fact that you're a Christian? Or would there not be enough evidence from how you live your life to prove that you are a Christian, that you're a disciple, that you're a follower of Jesus? You know, in court you can be found guilty, absolutely guilty on the evidence. You can be, cases can be proven on the balance of probabilities, particularly in civil matters, and sometimes you can be found not guilty. Well, if you were charged with being a Christian, would you be found absolutely guilty? Yes, you're guilty. Or would you be one of these who, well, on the balance of probabilities, they might be a Christian? Might not be, but we think perhaps on the balance of probabilities that they are a Christian? Or would the judge say, I can't see any evidence. I can't see any evidence that they're a Christian. Where would you stand? Where would you stand? Would you be guilty? Yes. Yes, praise God. Would it be just be the balance of probabilities, or would you be not guilty? Yes, if you live your life for God, you would be absolutely guilty. Not just maybe, and certainly not the proven, not the not proven verdict. How would they know? Well, they'd know by the fruits of the Spirit that are in your life. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are gifts. That's what they're called. They're gifts. They're given by God. The fruits of the Spirit, they have to grow. They have to grow. There's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits need to grow and grow and grow and grow in your life and be the evidence that you are a Christian, that you are a disciple, that you're on your way to glory and that crown of glory and that welcome. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn to Proverbs chapter 3? We'll just read verses 5 and 6. Now you'll find today that I have a lot of references from Scripture, because as I said, I don't want to tell you what I think. I want to tell you what the Word says, what Scripture says. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Clear instructions, crystal clear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now I'd like to pick out a few points from just those two verses. First of all, in all your ways. So when you're riding your motorbike, Rob, when I'm riding my motorbike, when you're mowing the lawn, this doesn't apply to me, but when you're cooking a meal, because I can't cook, won't cook. No, this is it, yeah. Doesn't want to cook, but the Lord shows me where the cafes are. He directs my paths just wonderfully. Or even when you're out sharing the gospel, in all your ways, not some of them, but all your ways, acknowledge God in every aspect of your life. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, whoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So here's a piece of evidence. Are you standing firm on that? Are you doing that? Are you acknowledging the name of Jesus? Are you standing firm on your faith and displaying it to the world? Is it evident? So in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now these words have already been used this afternoon. Trust and faith. The dictionary says, I have to read this, having a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something, and relationships have to be based on trust. Well, who better to trust than Jesus, than God? And then the word faith. We've been talking about faith. And I've told you before, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. The definition of faith. Read Hebrews and learn more about faith. You only need a mustard seed, but we need a great big mustard tree. That's where we want to get to. Yes, start off with the mustard seed, but don't stay there. Let your faith grow and blossom. Forsake all and trust him. King David said in 2 Samuel verse 22 and verse 23, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my saviour. Thou savest me from violence. Well, if it was good enough for King David, it's good enough for you and me. Amen. To trust in the Lord. To have faith in the Lord. And Psalm 2 verse 12 says, blessed are they that put their trust in him. How blessed are we that we have the opportunity to do that. Who are we? Chosen of God, how wonderful is that? Point three from those couple of verses from Proverbs. Don't be arrogant. Don't lean on your own understanding, it says. Don't be arrogant. Don't think you know it all. None of us do. That book is full of mystery. We look in a mirror darkly, don't we? And one day we will understand. But at the moment, we don't fully understand. And sometimes the route that the GPS takes us isn't quite where we thought we'd go. The truth is, you know, that we as mankind understand and know very little. And we don't even know what's at the bottom of the ocean. And we've seen some evidence of that quite recently, haven't we? The people trying to get to the bottom of the sea and they can't. We can't even do that. And then reaching out to the stars. And why does man do that? Well, they're searching. They're searching for the meaning of life. There's the book. They're looking for God. And some scientists have said, we've sent rockets and we still haven't found God. Well, they're looking in their own place. God's here this afternoon, folks. The Holy Spirit is here. You don't have to be going up to Mars or Saturn or wherever else. The Lord is here. Mankind is looking for answers, and the answer is in the book. Amen. The answer is God, clearly. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. A good understanding, it says, just like the verse that we read in Proverbs. And with that understanding comes wisdom. If somebody looks at your life, would they see, if somebody looked at my life, would they see that the wisdom of God is shown through what we do and the decisions that we make, what we watch on the telly and what we turn off? Would they see that in our lives? And we need to receive that understanding through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it of ourselves. We need God to show us, to help us. We need to have these ears open. We've said it before, haven't we? We've got two ears, only one tongue. So hold the tongue and listen with the ears. And Psalm 119, I'm sorry, there's going to be a lot of these, but I think they're important, even though it's only scratching the surface. Psalm 119, verse 144 says, give me understanding and I shall live. Amen. We live in Jesus, and not just for now, but for all eternity. When we've been there 10,000 years, we sang earlier. I just love that. When we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Amen. One of David's favorite accounts from the Bible in Luke 24 is the couple on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus walked with them and they didn't recognize Jesus. What does it say? He opened their understanding as he told them on the way that they might understand the scriptures, and still they didn't understand until he broke bread and gave them the wine, and then they could see their understanding. Where did their understanding come from? Jesus, from Jesus. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. We need to read and study the Word of God. We need to seek God that He will reveal Himself to us through what we study in the Word. So that we gain an understanding and grow. Not based on our understanding, but based on His understanding. And He shall direct your paths. Where am I going? Lord, you guide me. You know, the Christian life is one of a life of surrender to Jesus, a life of surrender to the Lord. We need to live our lives surrendered to Him, committed to Him. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, for those of you noting down, you'll have a long list by the time I've done, by about 8:15. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Here's another big piece of evidence. Are you living in the world and doing the things that the world does? Or are you living a separate life, a holy life, focused on God, so that the things that you do and see and say are directed by God, who is directing your paths? And touch not the unclean thing. And the Lord says, as a result, I will receive you. I will receive you. We don't preach this very often, do we, about being separate from the world? And you know, it's a basic tenet of what we should do. We should be separate. We live in the world, of course we do. But David is already saying it, we're not of the world. We're part of the family of God, and we need to live our lives as... And you know, there are some decisions that we need to make with regard to that. We can't say, oh, just leave it to the Lord. We are thinking people. He's given us a will. He's given us the opportunity to decide for Him. And we must take that decision and not just drift on as though it doesn't matter, because it does. Your eternity, my eternity, matters as a consequence of those decisions. Absolutely. Choose this day who you will serve. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. Do not live unto ourselves, but unto Him who died for us and rose again. Every drop of His blood was spilt for you and for me. Not only that we will be saved, but that we will be healed too, because by His stripes we're healed. Praise God. Praise God, yeah. In the same chapter, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. When you get saved, the slate is wiped clean. No, it's not. No, it's not. Hang on, let me tell you. The slate isn't wiped clean. You get a new slate, a completely new slate. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, can you turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 10? And we'll read a few verses from that chapter. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what should I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God, God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth." So looking at him, Jesus showed love and said to him, "One thing thou lackest, one thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come and follow me." And this young man was deeply dismayed because of these words. And he went away grieving, for he owned much property, it says in the Bible. He owned much property. Is there anything in your life? Is there anything in my life that we value more than our faith, our love for God, our life living for Him? This chapter is about commitment. It's about the priorities that we set in our lives. It's about the values that we choose to live by. The man who asked Jesus what he should do, he was no fool. He knew quite a lot. All these things I have done from my youth, he said. He knew the commandments. Yet he didn't have the commitments. He didn't own Jesus as Lord, even though in the text it says quite clearly that he recognized him as Lord, because he said, Master, called him good. And the only person that is good, as Jesus said, is God. So he knew. He loved his possessions more than he was prepared to love God. The love of money is the root of all evil? No, not quite. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself. We can put the money that we've got to good use, including building an extension, by the way. If anybody's got some spare cash, praise the Lord. We need some new toilets so that when we're full to overflowing, at least we've got some new loos. The love of money and a kitchen, yeah, for people to learn how to cook. Praise God. I can be first, I can be guinea pig, can I? Lovely. Where's the tin opener, Rob? In all your ways, acknowledge God. And that includes your possessions. For me, it includes my motorbike, which is really important to me. You know, and I use my motorbike, praise God, for the glory of God. And we go out and we preach the gospel using the motorbike, and people come because they're attracted by the motorbikes, and we're able to share the word of God. And they might say we're brainwashed. Totally washed from head to toe. Absolutely. God must come first. Jesus went on in that chapter to explain that it's hard for somebody who puts their trust in their possessions to enter the kingdom of God. We must take care, folks, all of us, to put Jesus first, not our possessions, not our lifestyle. Even though our lifestyle might be great, it's great because of the grace of God. Only because all these things will follow. Yeah. Not because of possessions, because they will fade away. Yeah. But because God is enthroned forever. Psalm chapter 9 that we did just a couple of weeks ago. Psalm chapter 9, God is enthroned forever. So one thing this young man lacked was a true allegiance to God. He'd made an idol of his wealth, and he was breaking the first commandment to love the Lord thy God. I've got a few more texts. Have you run out of paper if you're writing them down? Well done. Proverbs 11 and verse 28. He who trusts in his riches, this is interesting. Talking about the young man that we've been talking about. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. The green leaf grows like the fruits of the Spirit. The green leaf is the promise of the fruit to follow. And the righteousness is not our righteousness, of course. It's the righteousness of God. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Praise God. A few more quick ones. Matthew 7, verse 1 and verse 16. Do not judge other people. Are you quick to say, oh, look what he's doing? Don't judge, that you don't be judged by God. And of course, we've mentioned verse 16 already. You shall know them by their fruits. I've added an additional one in from my reading this morning. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pretty clear. It's in the book. It tells us. It tells us how we should be living our lives. Holiness. To be like Jesus. That's the answer. To be like Jesus. And Luke 12, verse 8. I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Tell people what your faith is. Go out and give them the word of God. But not only tell them, live it. People will, it's true, people will watch you. They say, she says she's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. Look what he's doing. Let's see. They will watch. Live your life in a way that the evidence is clear that you are a child of God. How fabulous is it? It is just to think that we are children of God. That is just absolutely wondrous, beyond our understanding. But you know, don't matter about all these film stars and all these people that the world craves after. I'm a son of God. Amen. And when I go out on the street, hey, I'm a son of God. Amen. And you know, they might turn round and they might say, yeah, I'm mad. I don't care. They say what they want. I am a son of God, a new creation, born again of the Spirit of God because of his sacrifice. You know, when we think of that sacrifice on Calvary, yes, it was immense. But just think what Jesus had given up to get to that point. Just think of what he had given up to become a man and to die. Yes, praise God, he rose again on the third day. And that stone was rolled away, wasn't it? Another of the stones that were rolled away. One of my favourites is John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. A new commandment. I don't know how many commandments there are in the Bible. The Jewish nation, there are hundreds. Thank you. 600 and something, yeah. But Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. God is love. So by the grace of God, we know how we should live our lives. We're instructed how we should live our lives. And of course, there are many, many, many more references in the Bible that I could have used that you will find. Too many to mention, but just to summarize, show evidence in your life. That others will know who you are and what you stand for. And let those fruits that are growing be seen and grow even greater as you live your life. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Trust in Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. Be humble and not arrogant. Because you've heard of the preacher who stood on the platform and said, "I'm proud of being humble." Heard that. Be humble. Not arrogant. Not your own understanding. Let Jesus direct our path. Not paths, by the way. Singular. Our path. One path. Build up treasures in heaven. Don't be judgmental. Confess the name of Jesus. And the last one, love one another. None of these things can we do in and of ourselves. We can only do it through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit in our lives, giving evidence to the fact that we are walking that path in our lives. And finally, what will the result of all that be? Well, Mick referred to it earlier. We will move on to perfection. That's where we're going. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Let us go on unto perfection. And then one of my favorites that I say time and time again, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation. No condemnation. Even at 5 o'clock, Ava, on Sunday afternoon, at 5 o'clock, there is still no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's conditional. You have to be in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. And finally, what else will we get? John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Peace. Whose peace is that? God's peace. That's ours. My peace I give you, not as the world gives. That's temporal, that's temporary, that's frivolous. So do not be troubled, do not be afraid. Peace I give you. Amen.